Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 25th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
When you're in the woods, you hear of a lot of organisms, but as you move into more human-dominated areas, there's very little natural vegetation for organisms to sing from, for example, and so they're just not there.
Birth defects like oral clefts, they're complex. There are many genes involved, and they may be interacting with environmental exposures.
What we're trying to do that is somewhat different is to get machines to learn how to learn. Let the machines adapt the way they think or the way they learn over time based on their experience of what works and what doesn't work.
This week, a new generation of image-conscious robots, how sunshine could influence the way medications work in the body, and new research into preventing cleft lips. But first, Suzanne Bard reports on what sound recordings can tell us about the health of natural habitats.
Recordings of nature sounds, like this one, are sometimes used for relaxation. But for soundscape ecologist Brian Pijanowski of Purdue University, they're an underused scientific tool. He and his colleagues have audio recorders running round the clock in various habitats. Generally speaking, he says the healthier ecosystems have a wider variety of sounds, filling up the sound frequency spectrum like radio broadcasts.
When you're in the woods, you hear of a lot of organisms, but as you move into more human-dominated areas, there's very little natural vegetation for organisms to sing from, for example, and so they're just not there.
He says changes in a habitat's soundtrack can be an early sign of ecological damage. Soundscape ecologists are also studying the effects of man-made noise, like traffic, that can drown out animal communications.
Thanks, Suzanne. As the days get longer, many of us are getting out in the sun again after being cooped up all winter. That's great for your vitamin D levels, but all the extra sunshine could also make certain medications less effective, according to researchers at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. Clinical pharmacologist Jonathan Lind and his colleagues studied more than 70,000 blood tests from transplant patients who are taking immune-suppressing drugs to keep their bodies from rejecting the new tissues and organs.
The drug concentrations of these drugs were significantly lower during the period of high vitamin D levels. That would be in the late summer and early autumn.
That's compared to late winter, when vitamin D levels are lowest. Researchers think that vitamin D boosts an enzyme that breaks down these and many other drugs. Lynn says the effect is subtle and may be relevant only in certain cases. Even then, he says adjusting the dose would be better than avoiding the sun. Next, cleft lips and palates occur in about 1 in 700 births. Suzanne says the reasons for clefts are complex.
Clefts are treatable with surgery, but researchers are trying to unlock the keys to prevention. Epidemiologist Terry Beatty of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health says that a complex interaction of genes and environment is probably responsible for clefts.
Birth defects like oral clefts, they're complex. There are many genes involved, and they may be interacting with environmental exposures. It looks like the only significant evidence we've found so far at the genome-wide level is for interactions. So when the mother smokes or drinks or doesn't take enough vitamins.
She adds that clefts are usually formed before a woman even knows she's pregnant, so prevention efforts should focus on educating women who are considering pregnancy in the future.
Thanks, Suzanne. If a sound or other stimulus goes on long enough, we begin to ignore it, a process called habituation. Cognitive psychologist Alejandro Yeres of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign wanted to know if something similar happens when we try to focus on tedious tasks.
Why it is that after 30, 40 minutes, people's performance starts to decrease? Why they start getting bad at what they're doing?
He and his colleagues had volunteers memorize numbers and then recall them over the course of about an hour. Most people's recall got worse over time, but those who were allowed to take brief breaks refreshed their focus and performed better.
With those few very, very brief breaks, performance no longer decreased over time, so they were able to maintain a very, very heightened level of focus over the whole period of the task and perform really well.
Yeris says this makes sense because our brains have evolved to notice new things, such as predators, and ignore routine things that pose no threat to our survival.
The brain evolved to actually always pick up differences in the world. It's not particularly interested in constancy in the world, because differences in the world tell us about new things that we want to pay attention to, new things that we want to detect, things that we want to orient to or avoid, etc.
In our final story of this week's podcast, Suzanne talked to a scientist about the robots of the future.
We generally think of robots as automatons, programmed to do the bidding of their human creators. But roboticist Todd Lipson of Cornell University says that a new generation of machines can learn from its mistakes and even become self-aware.
What we were trying to do is to get machines to learn how to learn. Let the machines adapt the way they think or the way they learn over time based on their experience of what works and what doesn't work. One project is about a machine that gradually forms a self-image. So it interacts with the world, it senses different things about itself. So it moves a leg, for example, and senses the accelerations that it feels. And from this relationship, over time, it begins to form a self-image, an internal picture, if you like, of itself, where its legs are, where its limbs are, how they work, and so forth. And usually, that's the sort of thing that in traditional robotics, an engineer would kind of program into the robot. But here, the robot learned this over time, and using that self-image, it can begin to plan.
He says the goal is to eventually create machines that are more reliable and can adapt to unexpected situations.
And maybe we can build better robots, and maybe also we can understand something about ourselves.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Well, that's all the news we have for you this week. Next week, we'll bring you more fascinating stories from the world of science. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.